Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me my big sister, Sheila G. You still there?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. And I believe I have on the line also my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. You still there?
Yes, I am. We're here.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad to have you all with us on another Thursday where we can
Amen.
Get together and study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., we are still in the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. And the last two Thursdays, we were able to go down through the 26th verse, and we were talking about when Judas hung himself, and that was verses 1 through 10, and then we were talking about Jesus before Pilate, and that was verses 11 through 26. The past two Thursdays, we weren't able to get any questions in, so we're going to make sure we get some questions and some comments in tonight. But I just wanted to go to verse 27 through 31 as folks are getting on the line, and talk about how the soldiers mocked Jesus, how they had this little game going on, and talk about how the leadership of when you have corrupt leadership, how it trickles down into the rank and file. And, you know, we talk about there's nothing new under the sun, and we look at our climate of our leaders today, and see how it trickles down to the rank and file folk. And again, truly, there's nothing new under the sun. We can see how, you know, all the way at the top, where you had the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the priests, and the elders, how their behavior was on the Jewish side, and then on the Roman side, you have Pilate and his leadership, and now it gives us a glimpse into the soldiers, how the corrupt leadership has trickled down to them, and how their behavior is so debased. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. We see that same type of debased behavior with leadership in our country right now. So let's look at verses 27 through 31. So then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium. Now, he was supposed to be the highest guard. The praetorium guard is supposed to be the highest Roman guard with the most, I would say, integrity, best training. And, you know, they reported to the governor, and they were the governor was given these soldiers by Caesar to keep order in the provinces they were. It says, and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. And so it's like all of these people, the Praetorian Guard, the soldiers, all of them, a whole company gathered around one person. And you can see how different entities of government can be corrupted into believing a lie and carrying out the lie of the ones that are doing the leadership. And it just seems so prevalent today that as I look at what's going on in our world today, is how you have whole sections of government carrying out the lie of bad leaders. Sheila G.
Amen. And then what's so bad about it is not only do they carry out the lie, even once it's been proven that it is a lie, they double down and continue on. And even when it's a total, they've gone down that rabbit hole with the corrupt leader. Then when he flips the script, makes them look foolish, but they still continue to go down that rabbit hole. And that's just how blind and corrupt and it's almost like they're brainwashed, like a cult. Behavior, like they're brainwashed, even though they know that it's wrong, to follow down that rabbit hole with that hate and that evil, as if it's okay.
Right. And Dr. G, it seems as if when people don't use their own brain and their own intellect and their own meter, I would call it your own meter, to understand what's right and wrong, that there are people are willing to do anything. I mean, here this whole company of soldiers coming against one man who earlier during this week, during that week leading up to his crucifixion, proved himself to has been someone that healed, someone who performed miracles, someone who did no wrong, and everyone around him knew wrong, but yet they still persisted treating him as someone that was deserving of murder. Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And I mean, it's a shame to say, but even soldiers, you know, their thing is they committed to following instructions and following orders to the very end. Even if you don't believe that someone has been falsely accused, there just doesn't seem to be any morals anymore. I mean, we, sharing with Sheila, they, you know, our country, our world, just seems to be headed down that road where no one's really cares anymore about the truth. You know, we talk about it, but actually caring, we just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I was looking at one of people who was on news, and one of the reporters were talking about a 10-year-old child who had Down syndrome and was caught up in this whole immigration thing, and one of the supporters of our leaders, when told about that, he made the mocking noise of womp womp, like, you know, person had no value, person is not a person because they're a person of color, because they come from another portion of the world, that because they were going through something and they had Down syndrome, that it wasn't even important. It was just so carelessly, callously mocked that even though they know that's wrong, even though they know that they should care, it's like they don't care. And so when you look at that, you say that behavior. And I always tell people that for the most part, behavior is learned. I tell people about that about children. I tell people about in relation.
Right.
Behavior is learned. People pick up culture because they learn culture. And you have a culture of hatred. You have a culture of division. You have a culture of callousness, a culture of frivolousness. You have a culture of dividing. You have a culture of separating people from what is normal. Then what happens is you have people behave in this manner. And so here you have this Praetorian Guard that's supposed to be the top people, the people that stand up and the people that carry out, you know, what is right and what is just. And they're participating in this mocking of Jesus. If you look at verse 28, I'm reading from the NIV now. It says, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. And they put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head, and again, it's cruelty to have a whole company of soldiers come against one person with they're supposed to be an authority. They're supposed to be the moral authority. They're supposed to be the governing authority. And here they stoop to cruelty and unreasonableness because of wanting to have a position of power and authority. And it's a sad commentary to what went on with our Lord and Savior and what's going on today, Sheila G.
Amen. And it's very true. And when you read this and you look at Jesus, how he endured all that and didn't react, you really see the contrast between the evilness of man and the compassion of Christ. And what we're seeing today is the evilness of man. But then with this particular immigration thing where it's happening with his children, where Jesus had a special place in his heart for children, now you're starting to see a little bit of people with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, here you see the evilness of man, but God allowing certain things to happen so that you can see the compassion of Christ. You have lawyers that are going pro bono down there to help. You know, you have media that, in spite of the fact that the government's not going to let them in these facilities, are still going down there. So you have others that are true showing, and when you do the contrast, it's again here where you see the evilness of man, but the fact that Jesus is willing to do that this for us. Number one, when I see this and I see what he went through and didn't have to go through, I don't have anything to complain about, because he, as evil as we are, he was doing that for those same people that were beating him and mocking him and doing those things. What kind of compassion is that when you're willing to die and allow this to happen to you to save the very people that are doing that for you?
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I agree with Sheila G. The thing that really stands out for me, you know, we were talking about the immigration and how the news reporters were trying to get into this one particular place and how folk would block them. And even some of the senators couldn't even get in because they didn't want folk to see what's really going on. But as we said earlier, you know, it starts at the top and it trickles down. Our country didn't used to be like this. I mean, we had compassion with people, but since this new administration has come in, anything and everything seems to be a go, you know, from racism coming out to, you know, whatever he feels that he wants to do. And then he'll get on the news and portray that he's so concerned about the children. But if you look at that executive order, there's a whole lot of flaws in that. So, you know, you compare that to what was going on back then. And again, you know, no compassion, no moral. You know, it started from the top, and these Roman soldiers just took it and rolled with it.
Right, and they take it, like you said, they run with it. It's like, so now it's okay. So you know, the governor, Pilate says it's okay. And so now they just take it to the extreme. And so what happens is it's like you push this snowball, and then it just snowballs. And so here they are, and they're spitting on him. And when I read it in the NIV, it says, and took a staff and struck him on the head again and again. Just I don't have the words to describe it for someone to treat a person so mercilessly, because someone else said it was okay. Now, if the governor or pilot said, oh, don't touch him, don't do this, they'd be like, yes, sir, this is a VIP, we can't treat him like this. But because the leadership says this person is not worth anything, they feel this freedom to be able to treat this person any old kind of way. And you see that in our country. You see where it's okay to hate, you know, a person, when someone in the leadership says it's okay to hate them, and it's okay to do this, and that's why it's so important for us to be so careful as leaders, as Christians, as people that represent, you know, Christ, because when they see us do certain things, that gives them the green light. Oh, it's okay. We can go ahead and do this, you know, in front of our children or in front of our neighbors or at work. Oh, okay, well, they're not, it's okay. We can treat them like this. We can say whatever we want. We can say this, we can do this, because our leader is telling us it's okay. And you know, it's a terrible thing to see that Jesus was brutalized by people who were given the okay because of what the Jewish leaders were and what the Romans leaders were saying was okay, even though they knew it was wrong, even though they knew that it was a lie, and yet they persisted to go about doing this ungodly thing to the one that was that is the creator of the world, and it's just an irony how terrible that this says again and again, and I can't get off of that. It's like again and again. It's like without any mercy, without any shame. You said it was okay, so I'm going to do it, and it's just unconsciously immoral. I'm running out of adjectives, Sheila G, of what's taking place today.
Yeah, I mean, it's just plain evil, and the true parallelism to this today is the fact that racism has always been here. It's always been there, you know. It may have been a little quiet. As a matter of fact, before our current administration, we were actually calling it hidden racism because they were doing things like with housing or with jobs, or they weren't as bold and direct with it. You know, it was more of a, trying to keep the poverty level a certain way, and the class, the higher class, the lower class, things like that. So it was kind of hidden racism, or like you said with the police, maybe, you know, doing the whole stop and frisk thing. But once this person started even running for office, and people started paying attention, and he was talking about people being murderers and rapists and this, that, and the other, that's when you saw the whole white supremacy movement. All of a sudden, everybody was out in the open. It was no longer something that was there, that was kind of undercover. And it's the same type of thing here, where they're, you know, it's like once that leadership said it's okay, then it went to the whole extreme, because then you had the Charlottesville thing where they had this big rally and running people down. Whereas if that leadership had not been in there to kind of condone it, that wouldn't have happened. They would have stayed in their little corner and their little things, and maybe you just make sure you don't go down their street. But it's almost like the leadership said, you know what, it's okay to be openly racist. And that's when that movement just kind of just went crazy and out of control and just spread, and to the point it just festered. And now it festered to the point where it's starting to affect the children. And then those that allowed it to sat on the sidelines, pilot that kind of sat on the sidelines that could have stopped it, but were like, well, the way we win this, now they're freaking out because it's like, oh, my God, it's out of control, and I can't put this bull back in the barn. Because, and now he's like a bull in the china shop, but I let him in the china shop and let all that stuff, all his horns and all that ugliness come out. And that's kind of what has happened now, whereas it was there, but it wasn't as hateful, but then the hate just grew, and as it does in parallel to here, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point now that you're hurting children, regardless of the race, it's still a child.
And Dr. G, that's where it's gone over the edge. It's gone over the edge. But when you see these words, again, and I'm reading an NRA where it says again and again, brutalizing again and again. So if I got away with it again, wow, nothing happened. I'm going to do it again. If I got away with this, wow, I'm going to get away with it again. And if I get it away with it again, wow, I'm going to get it away. And so now this is what they're doing to Jesus. They're beating him again and again. They're going to crucify him to say it's okay to kill. It's okay to maim, because nobody is going to say anything. Nobody can do anything because leadership says it's okay. And they carried out the will of the leader. And with this immigration thing, they did it with the men. They did it with the women. And now they're doing it with the children. And they feel that it's okay because they're able to get away with it again and again. And so at some point, this thing is going to come back, and the chickens are going to come home to roost, and our country is going to pay a dear price for allowing this to happen again and again. And the crucifixion of Christ wasn't the end, because there's going to be a judgment day. And those who participated in this again and again are going to stand before Christ and give an account of what they have done in this body. Dr. G.
Well, you know, for me, you were mentioning how they kept beating him again and again. And what really stands out for me, Sheila touched on it, you know, this police brutality. Mm. It started off kind of slow, but now it doesn't matter what city, what state, police are just beating and brutally hurting, and I hate to say other races other than the white race. Mm-hmm. And then the courts and they try to judge, and or rather they try to justify and say that they were following instructions. And you're right, you know, at some point it's all going to boil over, because people are getting tired of it. These young black kids are getting killed for nothing. And, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff, but that is what that reminds me of how they kept beating Christ over and over again.
Amen.
Yeah, Sheila G.
Amen. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly that it's just one of these things that snowballs, and if you don't fight it, you know, as Pastor G was saying in the courts, every time they take these police officers that that brutally murdered someone for some reason, it's like, oh yeah, they did fear for their life, and they get off. They may end up losing their job, but they don't go to jail.
Nope.
But as you said, they may not go to jail, but they lose their job, and they got to live with the fact because they know they murdered that person unjustifiably. Mm-hmm. All that comes to judgment. It doesn't stop there. It really doesn't stop there, and that's why I think we're finding a more peaceful way to respond, whereas before the cities would rally up, loot things. I think the last really bad one was in Baltimore when it gave our community a wake-up call to say, wait a minute. Now we are looking like thugs. No, at this point, we're going to do like they did in Starbucks. I'm just going to go along quiet, and you'll look like the fool. And I think it's starting to flip that way. The outrage is coming out, but it's not a type of outrage of showing more violence. It's not bringing violence against violence, kind of like what Jesus did. They were being violent and beating him again and again, but he did not respond violently. And I think that's kind of where things are turning now, and love will always overcome evil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a lot to take in, and I think you wake up in the morning and you see it just over and over again, you know, and it's you see it in your community, you see it in on the news, you see it in your church, you see it everywhere where there's like a culture change where the norms of humanity are being flipped upside down because people that are supposed to be in authority are over and over again behaving like there is no love, like you said. And you know, here the creator, the one who created this world is being humiliated by the creation because of the people that were supposed to be in charge. That were supposed to be leading people to God are brutalizing people. And so that last sentence, it says, then they led him away to be crucified, second part of that verse 31. And this is where people, they have no concern with people's lives. And this is what's so disturbing in today's climate, today's culture, is that people have no concern for people's lives. It's I'm right, you're wrong, there's no compromise, and because I'm right and you're wrong, your life means nothing to me. And that makes me cry. And I think that's what made people so want to cry about these children, little children that have nothing to do with these crimes, nothing to do with what's going on, and to see them in the middle of this hateful culture, this hateful situation, that's what breaks your heart. That's what, if you're human and you have any type of knowledge of God, that you know that it's wrong, and to see this go unchecked, unchallenged, lied about and carried out with such viciousness that you would get to a point where you're saying, truly, there's evil in this world, and that the spirit of Antichrist is in this world, and that if it was not for the Holy Spirit that holds this thing back and doesn't let it go, but so far that this would be a terrible place to have to live. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why we have to draw closer to Christ and not allow the things that we see or that we're faced with or that affect us humanly to overcome the spiritual part of us. Because the only thing that is stable is our walk with Christ. Man can look on us and see at any moment. And at this point, we all need to be running and drawing closer to the Lord so that he can guide us through this mess, because it's man that's really messing it up. And then you see all these natural disasters that are happening, you know, through both volcanoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and storms. So it's like, if you're not close to Christ, it would be a hopeless situation. And since we know this is man-made hate and man-made horrible things that are happening, we as Christians need to help others to draw to Christ so that they will have hope, that regardless of what goes around them, they won't be consumed, because they just have to trust in the Lord, and God will give that hedge of protection around them and give them the passion and compassion to reach out and help others. I think what has happened to us, it's all about us. It's all about, you know, it used to be a type of thing where you did somebody for somebody and you didn't expect anything in return. It was just this. Now it's a society, well, if I do it for you, at least to show me that you appreciate me, you got to do this for me, or you got to act a certain way. And what happened in the days where we just did it because
it was the right thing to do.
Right. We did it just because we did it, not so much that we expect you to shower with all this great love and appreciation, but because that's what God wants us to do. But we're no longer like that. It's like, you know, well, fine. Since you didn't say thank you, I ain't speaking to you no more. You know, it's just, it's heartbreaking, especially when you've been brought up in an environment where people just did nice things just to be nice, do nice things. You know, and that's happened to our government, is like, okay, you give me money. Since you gave me money, now I'm going to enforce all these things because you gave me money, but that person didn't give me money, so I'm not going to enforce those kind of laws. And that is what we've become from a small scale to a big scale. No longer do people just do nice things just to do nice things. It's no, you got to give me back. You got to show me some love. You got to show me this, that, and the other. But if we draw Christ close to Christ, it's not even about that. It's just about doing the right thing and showing love just because. Not because we expect him to do that.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to let some folk talk. It's almost like there is no shame to behave ungodly. And I was talking with someone today at work, and talking about the days of being in school where we used to reverence teachers. Teachers were important. Teachers were an important part of the community, and you respected them. And when you went to school, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get in trouble with the teacher. And it's like now people go to school and they could care less about the teachers. Is disrespecting the teacher someone that has no authority, that you know you don't respect? And you know, as more and more kids get involved in the classroom, that attitude can prevail. And the teachers, my wife is a teacher, and you know she can get beat up and kicked at and run over and disrespected in the classroom, and there's nothing that's done because people are scared of the kids and scared of what their parents are saying. And you know, we were scared to death of our teachers. If our teacher looked at us or said something or threatened to call our parents or something, we were done. but it's not like that. I've never seen anything like it where, and I'm not talking about older kids. I'm talking about kids that are in first grade and kindergarten that don't respect anybody. They don't respect the people in their school. They don't respect the people in their home. And and again, it's learned, because when you try to reason with the parents are off the chain. And it comes from leadership. Leadership in the home. You know, leadership where people used to go to church and listen to what the word says and what the people in leadership of the church says. But now you got corrupt people in the leadership of the church. You know, you really have to be a spiritual person to follow the things of the Spirit of Christ to really be able to sustain your sanity, your foundation, because if you don't, people can just do anything, say anything, everything goes, world and generation will cause you to be discouraged. But the last point was, you know, in this immigration thing, the president's wife went to one of these immigration places today, but they filmed her with some kind of jacket on that says, "I don't really care, do you?" And you know, it's like the audacity of this type of behavior. If Michelle Obama would have wore something like that, she would have been crucified. but this person can wear this on a way of supposed to be a mission of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Will wear something that is crazy that says, "I don't really care, do you?" And it's just wrong. And you know, people will have to be held accountable for the wrong that they do, because if you don't, they will be emboldened to continue to do wrong. And this
right.
is where we are in our society. So the Christians that have the truth and know the truth, we have to stand up for the truth. We have to stand up for what Christ teaches, and call it what it is, and you know, stand flat footed on the word of God and say, you know, this is wrong. When you mess with our children, it's wrong. When you murder people, innocent people, this is wrong. And
right.
and to know that we might come under some persecution, we might have to suffer some uneasiness for standing for the truth, but it's time for us to stand. Shield G.
Amen. That's the final word. It's time for us to stand, and we have to stand with Christ in the situation, even when it's unpopular.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, I agree with what both of you have been saying. You know, we're just living in a time right now where money is still the object of everything. And whereas our country used to be one of the top leaders, or, you know, people used to look up to us for how we carried ourselves, how we conducted ourselves, now they're looking at us in a different sort of way. They're laughing at us. They're pretty much going against what we are about, because everything that this administration has, since he's come in, he keeps talking about making America great. America was great
mm-hmm.
before. Now, it's just gone downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he has done, it's been about self. The tariffs, the immigration policies, all of this stuff. But the thing that really stands out for me is the fact that even the churches, you know,
yeah.
nobody
mm-hmm.
in the church
right.
is speaking. And it's the thing where, you know, everybody is doing their own thing. It's not about anymore. And even when you get into the church, people don't care. They could
mm-hmm.
care less if they come to church, if they hear the word. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm standing alone, because, you know, we try
mm-hmm.
to stand on what's right. And I guess that's one of the things that sets our churches apart. But
mm-hmm.
when you look at going on out here in all of these pastors preachers, you know, it's all about these titles, bishop this, his grace that. You know, we've lost whatever you want to call it, but we've lost the sense of love and what Christ was all about. We're going backwards,
mm-hmm.
and this is not the time for it. You know, whereas we should be running towards the church, people are running
mm-hmm.
from the church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So, we'll go to the phone line and ask the question, has the church lost its moral authority? Has the church lost its moral authority? I believe it has. And the second part of that question is, what consequence do you see because of this losing its moral authority? So I'm going to go to the phone line. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I believe it has. simply for the fact that, you know, in my opinion, that, you know, moral authority to me is more so being influential, being able to kind of influence people to kind of do the right thing and obviously utilize the word of God to enforce that. I think, you know, one of the things we learned as Christians is that, you know, granted the churches are run by people, by mortals, by men, by people who are of the flesh, they're still guided under the principle that God is leading the pastor to direct his, you know, flock, to be the shepherd of the flock. You have officers in the church. It's basically one organization, but the fuel behind it, the fire behind that, is the word of God. And I think as technology has gained advancement in the world, where you have social media, you have all these people that can utilize TV, you know, reach out to millions of people on Sunday, I believe ego and the will of man has kind of taken the place of God. So what ends up happening is, and I know you guys have touched on it several times on this, is that it starts becoming less about God and more about uplifting individuals and more about the dollars and more about the show, the personal things and the gains, the things that you do in wealth. And as a result of that, you lose, and I'm just kind of identifying, and I say this in quotations, you lose the church aspect of it. It's not church anymore. It's basically saying, okay, I want to be entertained. Let me go out here on Sunday and listen to this, you know, phenomenal choir, this preacher that comes in and drives a Bentley and has a private jet. And, you know, he's on Real Preachers of L.A. and he's flying out here next week to do this. And, you know, we, you know, before you join the church, you got to give us your bank account number so we can automatically take the 10% out for you just in case you can't make it one Sunday. So what happens is all these things change. And I've always told people, I'm of the mindset that if it isn't broke, don't try to fix it. What worked years ago worked. But what happens is, you know, you start having preachers in here, and I call them wolves in sheep's clothing, because I tell people, not every person that claims they're called to God and put in a position is doing the will of God. And most importantly, they're not going to all go into heaven. Every pastor of a church, every minister that preaches is not all going to go to heaven, because God knows your true existence. He knows what you're about. You can sit up there in front and say all the right things, but if you're not living that life, if you're not actually being an example to where I can say, all right, Pastor Kason, I know you in the church, but, you know, Monday through Saturday, I see you out on the street corner hanging out, doing God knows what, all on social media, whatever, then you're not living that life, and people have to realize that it goes beyond the walls of the church. And I truly believe that's why our country, and most importantly our world, is in the state that it is in, because we've slowly but surely taken God out of the equation. I know you guys talked about it years ago, prayer in school. That's gone. When's the last, look, I don't even remember the last time I seen somebody bless their food at the dinner table or at breakfast, or just little things that were instilled in us, you know, early on. I mean, we knew the books of the Bible growing up as kids. We knew all this other stuff. I'm sure kids can't name you five books in the Bible. But they can tell you what's on TV. They can tell you what's on the reality TV show. They can tell you what that gaming system is coming out, and they can tell you all the social media and knowing all these grown folk things. And it's like, what happened to going outside and just playing and not being caught up in the Kardashians and all this other nonsense? And that's really what's going on. And what's happening is it's starting to evolve and take a form that the word of God is unable to penetrate right now, because you don't have the wielder of that sword, the wielder of that word, being strong enough and committed enough to attack it. But I will also say this, it's a two-way street, because Pastor Gregory can preach till he's blue in the face. Sister Gregory can preach till she's blue in the face. You can preach till you're blue in the face. But if people aren't willing to accept it and realize what's going on and seeing it and stop busy being caught up, nothing's ever going to change, because I can put it in front of you. But if you don't take the time to open it up, to read it, to understand it, to apply it, you're still going to be doing the same things that you are. And so what happens is the voice of the church gets slowly turned down, until guess what? It's muted. And then pretty much people are going to church for the wrong reason, wearing all these clothes, looking for a man, looking for a woman. Oh, well, you know, God called me to preach. Okay, brother, well, get up there and preach. And you don't even, you know, you're not even participating in the church or kind of working your way through the rankings to get to that point where now you're equipped to preach to somebody, to be able to speak to somebody, because that's a big responsibility. People are leaning on you to help them get through whatever it is they're getting through, or to help them prepare for whatever it is they're going to go through, and people take it for granted. So when you combine all of those things, the church has lost its moral authority, and until something drastic happens, because sometimes that's what has to happen. Something drastic has to happen for God to get your attention. Remember before, he flooded the earth. Remember before mm-hmm. in certain cities for the fire and the brimstone. And I'll be the first to tell you, I told Pastor straight up, I'm scared of Revelations. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't like it, but guess what? That's the truth. One day God going to wake up and say, you know what? I got a first place again because he's going to say, I saw this 20,000 years ago. I'm a selective few that's going to, you know, maintain. It's going to kind of whatever, but he may do that because I'm scared of what I'm seeing in this world, what's going on in these other countries, what our president is doing in sidebar. Continue to pray for that man. I know we beat him up a lot and it's deserving, but pray for him because I believe if God can do anything, he can change a heart. Yep. He can change a mind. So I'm not going to lose faith in the will of God. So I will say, amen, in spite of all his faults and everything, still pray for that man because he's what we got right now. So still pray for that man that something changes, and I believe God will work it out eventually, either replacing him or having that brother see the light one day. But back to my point is that until those things happen, until we start taking the word of God seriously, church is going to be silenced. Church isn't factored into any of the decisions that are being made right now. It's all about your will being done or their will being done. But what about God's will? What about the will of the Lord where it's like, that's why we're here? The bickering, the cliques within the cliques, all that stuff. That's what Satan's want. I can tell you one person who's celebrating this is the devil. He's like, man, I don't even got to do nothing. They doing it to themselves. I'm just going to sit back and watch the show. Satan's probably like, man, I ain't had a break this long since Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever. Like, everybody running amok and doing whatever it is they doing on their own. Satan doesn't have to do much because we're doing it to ourselves. We're the decision makers, and I think I touched on it yesterday, that ultimately we're the ones that's doing this, and we're the ones that's disappointed God. I know when you guys a couple of weeks ago talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Peter that denied God. Is that correct? Was it Peter that denied God or three times? How many times do you think we deny God? And people just think that's only one way to deny God. But every time you fall victim to something, every time you're on social media, every time you make it about you, you're denying God. And I can tell you now, I'm human. I know I didn't deny God more than three times on several occasions. But guess what? I'm working to try to get better. But as a community, as a church community, every time we do this, we're denying God. So we're no better than Peter and a lot of the other characters in the Bible that we talk about that denied the will of God and betrayed God and talked about it, whatever. We're doing the same thing. We're just doing it differently, but the end result remains the same, that until we stop making it about us, the church is going to lose its voice and ultimately then be silenced. And guess what? Churches are going to start closing their doors. The next thing you know, churches are going to be scarce. And the next thing you know, it's going to be like, man, when's the last time you seen the Bible in a hotel room? Or when's the last time you've seen the Bible? And people don't even know this. The number one best-selling book in the world is the Bible.
Every year.
If you don't believe me.
Every year.
Is the Bible. And guess what? First time, and I'm going to make this point, and I really believe it, and I bet you $1 million, that's probably the least read book in the world. The number one best-selling book in the history of mankind. I'm going out on a limb. Somebody can verify. But I guarantee you, the number one best-selling book in the world is probably the least read book in the world. You want to know how I know? Look around us. Look at what's going on. Look at what's going on in the world. You know, all the New York bestsellers, all the other stuff. Guess what? People are reading them. You got people having book clubs and all this stuff like that. We're having book clubs every Wednesday night. How many people call in? How many other churches are having book clubs and prayer services and stuff about what's going on in the Bible? But I guarantee you, based off of what I'm seeing, it's the least read book in the world. And I'm sad to say that, but it's the truth. And I don't cut no corners. You know, when I'm passionate about a subject, I keep it real. And that's the way I was born up and raised. But until the church actually recommits and dedicates itself to getting the right people in there, to making it about the will of God, the world is going to continue to be in a chaos. And we're looking right now at a world that is slowly losing its touch with God. And until change happens, we're going to continue to fall deeper and deeper into that. And unfortunately, God's going to have to step in. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's what's going to end up happening. Amen. We're going to be so detrimental to ourselves, God is going to step in. And we don't know when, what hour, nor the day is passing with Satan. But guess what? God's going to get tired of having his feelings hurt and getting his heart broken. And ultimately, he's going to step in and do what he said. And it may touch on some things in the book of Revelation. But I tell you one thing, I see what's going on, and I'm trying to get right with God. And I can't save anybody else except myself, but I can definitely, hopefully, this may have touched the soul or sparked a nerve in somebody. But I pay attention to what's going on, and I make sure I try to do the best that I can, and that's all I can do, try my best to get better each day and get closer to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, we have lost our moral values. First of all, we've lost our love for God and for Jesus Christ. We have left our first love. the ones that claim to be believers. We have stopped, some of us, I'm not going to say all, some of us have stopped lifting Jesus up. And therefore, because we have failed to lift him up, because we have failed to do what he has told us to do according to his word, we don't have the power that we need in order to be effective the way that to work for the Lord and to do ministry and to draw other people in. And so God, he speaks through us. And our children is one way, you know, that he speaks to us, and he trying to get us to open our eyes and let us see where we are and where this country is. And sometimes people are so concerned about putting someone into power that is going to do help them power-wise or money-wise or hatred-wise that they fail to realize that in that process they're going to be destroyed too. When you start distributing evil for evil, it's going to affect everyone. And the only way that you can overrule evil is with love and with good. And the only way that you can have genuine true love is to be born again and to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Because he's the only one that can help you to get through that hatred. He's the only one that can fill your heart with that love and not want to get back at people when they hurt you. And so in order to show that love, in order to show that compassion, you've got to have Jesus in your life. You've got to have the Holy Spirit holding you and directing you so that you won't let hate overrule. Because we live in this fleshly body.
Yes, sir.
And the flesh want to take control. The flesh want to rule. The flesh want to be in charge. It does not want to be subject to God. And so in order for our country to get better, we have to get closer to God. We have to let that worry live through us and be that light that shines in darkness. And stop wanting to please man and being popular. Jesus told them, if they hate me, they're going to hate you too.
Come on now.
And I think a lot of times we want people to love us. And so we sugarcoat stuff. You know, we want, you know, we don't want no enemies. But if it means you being saved, if it means that, you know, this country be stronger or, you know, even me be a stronger person. Or my family be a stronger person, then, you know, share the truth, but share it with love. And and that's why Jesus was our example, because he took abuse in love. But he prayed to the Father that the Father would give him that strength and let that Holy Spirit stay and minister and help him. Even though he was God all by himself, he still had to face that Gethsemane, that cup by itself. He had to drink that bitter cup. And he knew if he could drink that bitter cup, then the cross.
Come on now. Come on now.
Hallelujah. The cross he could do. And so this is why Jesus, he is our example. But the only way that we can be powerful in this world, the only way we can be effective in this world is to continue to be in prayer, continue to abide in the Holy Spirit, continue to be submissive to Jesus, continue to lift him up, and just ask God to help me to be a better person, help me to stand for righteousness and truth, and not let me compromise.
Amen.
And you can't do it by yourself.
Amen.
No.
If the hatred is there and Jesus hasn't removed it, it's going to only get worse. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't change ourselves. We have to go to him to change us from the inside out. And the change has to come from the inside out.
Amen.
That's why we have to be born again and born of the Holy Spirit. And when we're born of the Holy Spirit, then we can possess the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And the first one is love. The powerful one is love. It's a terrible thing. And even the prophet told Mary about how her soul would be pierced and her heart would ache. But yet, Mary, you know, knowing that she was bringing this baby into the world, but, you know, but the Lord, God gave her the strength to do it.
Yeah.
Because the mission had to be fulfilled.
Yes.
And even standing at the cross and seeing the hatred before she got to the cross, you know, the mockery, the beating, and the hatred. But yet, a mother loves so tender.
Yes, Lord.
And so when I think about those children, my mind thought about Mary, you know.
Yeah,
It's bad because you have children that might be marked for life because somebody else uncaring is separation. And sometimes we're so caught up with the law and tradition and what we need to do that we forget all about the mercy and the justice and the love and the grace that comes in. And that overrules every day. And that's what Jesus was trying to demonstrate and try to show them. That grace and mercy rules.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor, for letting me share. Thank you all.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. You have some powerful comments tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Our last four digits is 3343. 3343, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here back at home today. The fact is that we just forget, like I said before, we're not reading the Bible at all. Everybody didn't believe about 9/11, but you're messing with God's children. And this is what they are. The devil is still working. There's the devil even in church where the Catholic is supposed to be on top to do the right thing and tell the man he's doing the wrong thing that he's doing and come together. They're not doing it because there's so much devil in the Catholic Church. And the devil is not reading his Bible that he has in his inventory, but everything it's just got to be something that 9/11 is going to have to change to something, and God's going to start messing with his children. He's going to turn his book around, and before it's going to be smoke in the sky. You see it coming. You're messing with God's child. And sooner or later, this world's got to answer to something. Somewhere down the line, you can't make this man talk to him and not see something that he got to be understand where it's coming from. But he's all safe, but he's not safe at all. He's walking around doing his thing, but the book is in the book, and nobody is reading it. But God is on his way. Sooner or later, it's going to touch. Sooner or later, it's got to touch somewhere. It can't keep on going. The black people can't say nothing too much because they're doing the things to black children and killing all the black kids. I'm just so proud and so glad that I just recently had a baby boy that came into my life, a great-grandchild, and killing all the little black children, killing them boys that were not grown, get a chance to grow up and read the Bible. Don't know nothing about the Bible.
Wow.
God's got to do something. He can't stay long. He can't stand long, too. It's got to show up. And it just hurt my heart to see the look, and I cried with him because I know God is coming. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. 9/11 was just a joke, but it's going to take some later. But please, God, help us all so we can stay together and preach and learn. And hear your word, Pastor, so we can stay together and keep on praying to the Lord that he knows it's got to change. He's coming.
Amen.
All right. So we
talk
to you next Thursday.
All right. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for your comment tonight. We got one more caller on the line. We're going to go to 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Brother Brandon, I want to thank you for your mini sermon. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I've been saying the things that you said for years about our churches and the people in our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts in the church. Years ago, people started in the home. They didn't have churches.
Right.
But we praised God, and we stood for what God's word said. And people of today have lost all of that. I'm so sick of hearing people saying, well, you know, that's what's going on in the world today. Well, it's going on in the world today, but it doesn't mean that we have to do it.
That's right.
It belongs in the church. And when you go to church and you're taught God's word, you should be willing to carry it out. But some of the preachers are worse than the parishioners
mm-hmm.
or the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
They go along with anything.
And everything.
Back in the day, you would not have heard of what's going
no.
on in our federal government today.
Amen.
No.
Anybody's child. God didn't say foreigners. He didn't say third world. It's nowhere. He said my people.
Mm-hmm.
My people are all, and he uses all the way through this word. And for the churches not to stand up against one man who is destroying people's lives and our babies.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not of Americans, but they're people.
That's right.
Yeah.
It hurts to the core, and that's what it means,
yes.
Moral authority.
Mm-hmm.
Moral authority, and it starts in the church, the people in the church that love one another. That's going to say, not so. No, this cannot happen in America and nowhere.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We are supposed to be rich in everything. In everything. And if this goes down, that this one person, and he is so rotten to the core, he knows nothing about God's word.
That's right.
And if he doesn't know anything, his wife doesn't either.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a foreigner.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And why are people saying, oh, be for real, for real? What does God say about money? What does God's word say about the rich man?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has this man gone to church since he's been in the White House? How many times?
Mm.
How many preachers? And I remember when things used to go wrong in the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Graham or Roberts, they'd go to that White House.
Mm-hmm.
They'd reach out.
Yep.
And they want to know. And that's when it said, moral churches, have we lost our moral authority?
Mm-hmm.
Every preacher in the world should be bowing on thy knees, calling out the people that are in authority. And the people are running from church to church.
Whatever.
And they don't realize that you go to church to praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Not man.
That's right.
To reach out and touch somebody else. To humble themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And love one another. But they will let man set the laws. They are going to vote today. All of these people out there with all those signs and know all this is going on. And it's what they're standing for is a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You have not heard not one speak out about what's truly going on in the world and what changes are going to be made. I'm sick and tired of using our school kids as a pawn to get a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And I can speak that because I'm out there in that world.
Right.
I want to know. And I've seen you promise us. And we have not received it. Our schools are worse. Our children are worse.
Yeah.
Why? I've been in the schoolhouse. I've been in the school rooms. They don't even want you to breathe God's name. Mm-hmm. Or sing a spiritual song. I went to my little nephew's graduation. Not a word.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking God for the breath that you breathe. Thanking God
whatever.
For the teachers. Thanking God for giving you everything. And they standing up there with anything on red hair and all this mess. They've lost their morals.
Amen.
There's nobody to say it's wrong and stand firm on God's word. Because if he said it, he's strong enough to back it up. And I,
Amen.
If you know me, you know what my slogan is. I'm the king's kid and he's got my back. And if it's wrong, I will say it. And I'll back it up with God's word. My mom used to say, don't get mad with me, Violet Ray.
All
get
right.
mad with the Lord because this is what his word says.
All right.
So we have to be strong in the Lord. Yield not to temptation out there in the world and not let them change us for what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We must be strong at all times.
Amen.
And speak it. Let it be known. Those that want it, they have a choice, and it's the choices that they make that
mm-hmm.
kills them all. They want the drugs, they want the guns, they want the lust of the flesh. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to going to church, they think they can come this Sunday. Preach on something, they get mad at the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
They get mad with the preacher. They don't want to hear it. Then they go to another church, and that same mm-hmm. word, as Brother
mm-hmm.
Brandon said, God's word ain't changed. It's the best
mm-hmm.
book that's ever been sold, number
mm-hmm.
one. But we will back off and let them get away with it. But God won't let them get away with it because we know he's watching them. He knows them. But we have to take a part in that too.
Amen.
Amen.
Be strong in our morals. In our morals. That is so important. That is so important. And when you stand on it, I have a member of our church used to be a member. But she's on deathbed. She is so hurt that she says she walked away from the church, and I keep telling her, you walked away from God.
Mm-hmm.
The church is just a building. It's just a building. She forgot about God when she walked out of there. She doesn't have Anthony Kason in the sick room praying for her. She's in the big church, but where are the people?
Mm.
They don't know her.
Huh.
They don't know her.
Mm.
That's sad. That's sad. Because somebody may have said something.
Huh.
May have said something. We've got the wrong attitude. We must
mm-hmm.
change.
Mm-hmm.
And when things go wrong, don't go to man, go to God's word, and
Amen.
He will tell you what to do.
Amen.
He will tell you how to handle it. As they say, suck it up. Suck it up. And say, ask God to forgive you. And keep going on that narrow path that he says we have to
Amen.
Walk. Righteous.
Amen.
Upright. God loves us when nobody else cares.
That's true.
He gives us what we need. But we don't have the intelligence, and you can say what you want to say. Intelligence goes in this word. He gives it to us. He gives us knowledge.
Amen.
He created us to think godly, to live godly, to live holy every day. It's not on and off. And when you do this, morals is always going to be there, staring you in the
That's
face.
Right. That's right.
Lift him up. Lift him up. And watch how you can turn things around. And I guarantee you, if every pastor in every church would get out here and walk in front of that White House and let these mm-hmm. people know God is still on the throne, and we're going to hold him up, lift him up, and you got to change. You can't do that to his people.
Amen.
And that's across the board. That's across the board. If you kept them together, send them back. But don't do what mm-hmm. you just did to his people. God created all of us in his image. And to hear those children cry out, I can't fathom somebody taking my baby away from me.
Amen. Amen.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Just for freedom. Just for freedom. I thank you all for listening to me, but this thing is deep.
It is. It is.
Morals today. Is deep.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It's deep. I just got on a member of our family for taking my little nephew out there, putting a pickaninny knots on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't born like that. You just categorize your own child. You put him in a category that to let that white man categorize who he is before he even knows who he is. Before he even knows who he is. He's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I said, here, your hair slicked back and looking good. And your child looking like a little slave boy. Little pickaninny. Labeled. Already. You did it. You did it.
Mm.
You did it. That's what I mean. Don't hand it to me. Because it won't work. It will not work. Looking like a clown.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I hate it. I love girls. Every child tattooed up. Pierced up. Good God from Zion. When are we going to wake up and live a life of Christ?
Amen.
Thank you all for listening to me, but I feel good.
Amen.
I thank
Amen.
All of you all for your comments. This means a lot to us, but we have to do more than just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We have to go out there and touch somebody.
Amen.
And reach it where it's supposed to be. And that is all of us, all of the people, all of the children. All of the people, adults, people are suffering.
Yeah.
Suffering. Because of morals. Some of them don't even know.
Whatever.
They don't even know. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And when they get around people that don't look like they look, don't act like they act, they feel like they're a misfit. They don't even know how to accept love. True, genuine, agape love. They don't. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And all these preachers and things that's running for office.
Mm.
God asked me, how is this man going to run a church and run this county? That's a good question. Good question. But if he believes in God, God has power. He's not going to give you nothing that he doesn't think you can handle.
That's right.
You're not going to put no more on you can bear. He knows what you can do. And when he places you there, he's going to want you to perform spiritually, godly, and it speaks of man's law, the law of the land, and we must live up to it, squeaky clean, and let your moral authority take over. Let your light shine. That as a man, some of the men of the world today, if they read God's word, what it says about a man's authority over his
mm-hmm.
wife, over his children, mm-hmm. over his family, and all of his possessions.
You know?
They've lost it. And they get angry when the preacher preaches in the pulpit. They meddle in that business. You know why I'm saying it? Because it's said to me. But then
mm-hmm.
I back them up. I slam dunked them with the word. As my sisters and pastor's mother say, I beat them with the word.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make a stand. We have to make a stand.
There you go.
And come to church, listen to a sermon, don't do it. You learn about the word in Sunday school. You learn about the word in Bible study. And then you reap the benefits by going to church and your pastor preaching to you to keep you. What's that you say, Pastor, all the time? Going to the filling station, get filled up.
Amen.
So you can take it out and touch somebody else with it.
That's right. That's right.
Lord, it's that deep. That's how deep it is. And to reach out and try to get the people of the world, because it's nothing you can do but to save. We got to touch those out there that don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there destroying themselves. Don't have any morals. And don't know nothing about authority. That's why they can't get along on the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get along on the jobs. They can't do nothing. Because when you approach them of things, they get terrible attitudes. They don't have a humble heart. They don't know what it's like to be kind one to another. There's got to be some changes made. Some changes made. We're in the position to make those changes.
That's right.
We're taught some good stuff on this Thursday night Bible study. Believe me, I take it everywhere I go.
Amen.
I know they hate to see me coming. But I have no regrets. I know they call me Holy Roly. This, that, and the other. I just smile. I'm not going to change. God's been too good to me. Too good to me. And I have peace. Peace. I thank you all. I thank you every Thursday night because I appreciate what I hear, what I know and see people doing for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Always be blessed.
Amen.
Always. Always. I thank you all. And I thank God for you all.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G. It's been a hot topic tonight. I think what's going on has struck a nerve with a lot of people in this world. Get your final thoughts and close out with prayer.
I just ask that we just continue to step it up and try to draw others to Christ and continue to pray for our country. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for once again allowing us to have another Thursday night Bible study to expound on your word, and Lord, and to see how we can apply it to our lives on this in this day and time, Lord. I pray that you will watch over each one of us, lead, guide, direct our paths, Lord, so that we will walk in the righteousness of you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.